mystical realms, Carolyn and Jay. Converse in mystic, ethereal ballet. Ideas and stories, hope dreams they share. With intuition as their guiding, cosmic flair. In morning's embrace, their dialogues unfurl. Metaphysical whispers, a new day's pearl. In these whispered tones, they contemplate the night, where truth and wonder take their graceful flight. For in their words, a resonance may swell, as conversation's magic casts its spell. Welcome to Carolyn and Jay's Metaphysical Conversations. Morning. We are Carolyn and Jay here with Metaphysical Conversations, and it's June 24th. We are, well, just about 25 minutes of the year into the 52nd week of the year. So we're halfway there. And isn't that amazing how fast it's going? So,
I mean,
go ahead.
I just have to say, are we the only ones that feel like it's going by at lightning speed? I'm so curious to see what other people are experiencing when it comes to time this year.
It just, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I you know, it's like we blink and our days are done. So we are not going to be taking readings today, but however, we would love to hear from you, to join us in the chat room, to add to our conversation. Jay, how can they add to our conversation today?
You can do that by heading over to 1-2 Radio and clicking on the chat button. And that is the number 12radio.com, by the way. Once you click on the chat button, that opens up a brand new window to Facebook. It is a private Facebook group with the same name. Send over an invitation to become part of the group. We'll get you accepted and approved while we're live on the air. And once we do that, you can make your way to our banner, which is at the top of the page, called Metaphysical Conversations. And the conversation is happening in the comments section. We'd love for you to come join us.
So one of the things we're going to, well, the thing we're going to be talking about today is lying, you know, and how to spot a liar. And first we're going to talk about lies from a metaphysical perspective, and then we're going to talk about the physical identifications of them so that we can really be on it, you know. You know, it's really important to, you know, well, first of all, I want to say before we even go into this, that it's really important not to lie, because what happens when you lie is you tend to dim your energy, right? You dim it. And why would we want to be a dim light? So, but Jay?
Well, yeah, yes, I agree. And I not only dim it, but I feel like sometimes we can do like gymnastics with our energy when we're lying, because we're trying to hold it all together and also bend and twist and like sell whatever we're having to sell, or keep in mind whatever we got to do, like to sell the lie. And that just becomes too much.
It really does. From a metaphysical perspective, one of the things that we need to look at is our intuitive perception. Using our intuitive perception from a metaphysical perspective, spotting a liar involves heightened intuitive abilities, like allowing us to sense it beyond physical cues, also potentially through subtle energetic and vibrational discrepancies. Perhaps, well, also too, that it may include inconsistencies in storytelling, right? You want to attend to their contradictions in their narrative. They'll struggle to keep their story straight across different retellings of the question. So you gotta watch for it. And then the nonverbal cues and body language is another thing. You want to observe their body language, which we'll be talking about later, and their facial expressions. They'll exhibit signs of avoiding eye contact, fidgeting, displaying nervous gestures that don't align with our words. What were you gonna say, Jay?
No, I was just agreeing with you, but what it reminds me of is when we do have to pretzel ourselves and do all these things that we don't think the other person is paying attention to, because we're so focused on this one little part. But like you said, being the observer, really paying attention, our intuition will in a certain kind of way, it will pop off the person. Like you'll see the inconsistency. And it may not be in a way that is conventional to you, but it's more from, like Carolyn was mentioning, all these different subtle ways we can pick up information from the field and determine, is it true and real, or is there something else going on? And so anyways, that's all I was going to say.
Yeah, and also using that from the metaphysical perspective, you want to look at the, you know, just have the energetic awareness. So, you know, as I was saying before, that their lies are believed to carry a lower vibration frequency. Doesn't it make sense compared to truth? And it makes sense. You know, it's like, you know, and why bother, really? Why bother with it? Because you're not being authentic. You know, you check for sensing disharmony and discomfort also in a person. You want to pay attention to any sense of discomfort or disharmony in their energy or intuition, using your intuition when interacting with the person, because you'll see that you'll see this inconsistency or unsettling sense compared to the genuine interactions. And you may know them already, and you see their genuine reactions, and you can see the warp that's happened. You'll also look for just that feeling of a lack of authenticity. You want to really look at it, because when it just doesn't feel real, doesn't feel quite right, something's just not on. Or it seems forced or artificial. So you really want to look for it, because you want to not bother yourself with these kind of words. So you look for genuine interactions, you'll feel when it typically resonates with you, with a sense of honesty and openness, whereas a liar's energy might feel guarded or insincere, right?
Totally. Well, and what comes to mind about that is sometimes we can be afraid to ask simple questions, and that's another cue too, that there's something going on with that person. If you can't ask simple questions without them reacting in a big kind of way or being angry at you for, quote, not trusting them, and when you might just simply be trying to understand, those are also cues and red flags to kind of pay attention to in relationships with people where there may be something going on in the lying department, but it might be flying under the radar, and this is the way that, you know, you might be noticing it, you know, come up. And this is where sometimes we also have to trust our own inner voice and what we're seeing versus what we want to believe the other person is doing. Because oftentimes we'll believe way better about them and what they're doing than what's actually happening. And I'm not saying, oh, go ahead.
And you know it too, when it's happening.
Totally.
You know, practices in general, they focus on tuning into these energetic differences, right? Enabling the detection of deceit or feeling the unsuitable or inappropriate words or energies in someone's aura or energy field. So we're there to really tap into the best of us, right? So spiritual discernment is part of us. And so in metaphysical teachings, we want to really emphasize our development there in discernment, and really recognize, see through the illusions and to recognize deeper truths, because that's what we're about, right? Spotting a liar is a practical application also in this spiritual skill. It helps us to become a clearer understanding, have a clearer understanding of our reality and a more authentic, experience a more authentic interaction with just about everybody when we're really breaking on through. So one of the ways that we can also spot from a spiritual discernment perspective is cultivating our inner stillness and presence. That we're more aware, of the interaction with others, especially potential liars. It helps you to understand or sense the discrepancies between the words and their true intentions when you really quiet our own mind. So
one thing that's coming up about all this to think about too is, if there's any part of you that is not quite telling the truth about yourself, it might not be an out and out lie, but it also may not be like the authentic truth. When we are able to be more honest about where other people are coming from and being real and true about that, it also gives us a chance to do the same for ourselves, because we may not even notice where we're out of our authenticity because we're trying to not rock the boat or make any waves, so to speak. But sometimes it's not about the waves that we're going to make. It's about the truth and the authenticity of the moment. And I know for myself, if I know that that truth is going to hurt their feelings or worse, and especially if they're a friend or a family member, somebody close to me emotionally, those people would be really difficult to tell the truth to, especially if I knew it was going to be difficult. But that doesn't mean that the truth is any less valuable or important. That was just my own concern about how I was going to hurt their feelings and trying to over concern myself with that. It helps us notice that where we do that.
Good. Yeah. And then the other thing we can do too is to listen beyond the words of what somebody is saying. You want to pay attention to the energy beyond their words and actions. So because spiritual discernment involves listening to the subtle cues that indicate authenticity and deception. And this might include sensing incongruencies in their energy, detecting if their words resonate with truthfulness, you'll feel it, or feeling if their intentions align with higher values. And so you want to keep those in mind. You also want to seek alignment with universal truth always, right? From this kind of perspective. And you use your spiritual principles or universal truths as a benchmark, which may involve understanding concepts like compassion, integrity, and authenticity, right? When assessing someone's truthfulness, you want to evaluate whether their words and actions align with these principles, or if there are discrepancies that suggest deception or manipulation. Because, again, you don't want to waste your time, and you just want to cut to the chase. So these are ways that we can really look at lying from a metaphysical point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's important to see these different layers, because if we only see things in the physical, we're going to miss things in the metaphysical. If we're only playing in the metaphysical, we're going to miss things in the physical. They're interrelated and tied together in a certain way, but it's not always apparent how. And it isn't always a matter of figuring out how either. It's more just acknowledging that they're connected.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So let's talk about some of the things now about the physical. The physical, when you capture it, when you see it, you know, maybe you're interviewing somebody, you're asking somebody, you know, what did they do last night, right? so you know, it could be as simple as that. But one of the things you want to look for is, you know, their physical movements. You know, I don't know whether you did anyone watch that Amber Heard and Johnny Depp court? Did anyone see that?
I watched it for a little bit. I didn't get too into it. How about, did you watch it every day?
I could not pull myself away. I was just Amber Heard. She would, you know, cover her mouth, you know, online. The covering the mouth is a sign. She would, there were so many shrug her shoulders. She would, you know, look up to the corner. You know, that's another thing. So, let's just talk about the face right now. Things that we look at in the face, not even thinking about Amber Heard. I got to pull myself away from that. Touching the face. Well, actually, she touched her face a lot, too. Touching the face is one of the ways that you can spot a liar. Covering the mouth, nose, or face with your hand. So check yourself out, too, when you're trying to, you know, express something that you know is an untruth. I mean, come on. So touching the face, covering the mouth, lip biting or licking also.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So
usually... It's usually from a very like uncontrolled kind of place. And what I mean by that is there's almost like there's a either an obsessive quality to it or like a, I can't think of the right word, but when you do something out of like where you're, you know, licking your lips a certain way, but you're doing it unconsciously, you don't even realize that you're moving your tongue back and forth. It's that kind of thing where that person is making a movement that they are not aware of. But it's happening, and it's usually
and then looking up and to the right, some believe that that indicates fabricating information, though this is debated. You want to look at whether they look up to the right. I've actually heard up to the left as well, so I have to say that as well, because when you look up to the left, I've always heard that you're not really quite sure of the answer, but you're going to come up with something. So that's how I've heard it also. So that can be debated whether it's the right or the left, but looking up, I probably to a corner is they're searching. Micro expressions is another thing. And those may be like, you know, brief involuntary facial expressions that reveal true emotions. Hmm. So look for micro expressions as well. Inconsistent smiles is another.
Before you go to the next one, I just want to add the part of the fidgetiness. I know we talked about the face, but also hands and feet are usually going to be on the move as well. We haven't yet. So if you can see them.
Absolutely. The mm-hmm. legs and yeah. So yeah, those are really important ones too. I mean, that when your person's going crazy, you can just sit back and watch the show. So so inconsistent smiles that don't reach what the eyes are really, you know, are saying, and the smile looks forced. So inconsistent smiles, it just don't make sense. And they also avoid eye contact sometimes, and looking away or avoiding direct eye contact. But there can be the opposite too, excessive eye contact, overcompensating for maintaining perhaps too much eye contact, and rapid blinking also, and closed posture. I mean, okay, so now we're getting into another part of the body, but let's go to Jay's next. Just in the legs and feet, right? You were saying, Jay, fidgeting?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so constant moving or shaking of the legs maybe?
Exactly. Right? Well, and what I notice now on an energetic level, it's almost like you can tell there's a disturbance in the field. And when you really like can be the observer, you can see how their movement is part of what's creating that disturbance. And especially like that kind of like erratic or like a constant, like I'm tapping, like that is literally creating like a ripple in the field that your empathicness is going to feel. If you're paying attention.
Your feet. And you're messing with yourself when you do that, but you can also see it, you can feel it, you know? Crossing and uncrossing legs, even, you know, frequently changing the position of cross legs. And just the inability to keep them still, right? Mm-hmm, just mm-hmm. the ability to that, you know, bouncing your legs, foot withdrawal, hiding your feet, right?
There's so many ways that we give ourselves away that we don't even realize if we're not really paying attention to how our body is even showing us that we are in a particular space. You know, maybe we don't even notice that we're telling white lies to the person that's in front of us because it's just so automatic for us to want to keep the peace or, you know, not make any waves. But when we start to slow things down, all of a sudden stuff like this starts to become apparent. And so we're not trying to nitpick, but we are trying to show you like the signs that can tell you too that something's going on.
The other thing was when you see them sitting there and they start pointing their feet away from you, and then that can indicate a desire to leave. So then you can, oh, okay, so those feet just stopped pointing at me. They're pointing away. So that's another indication that they're probably telling an untruth, or they're having kicking motions, or they're locking their ankles. So covering their legs with your hands too is another thing. So placing your hands over your knees or thighs as if to steady, like you're trying to keep them still, right? So that's another way of trying to, I guess, control your lie, right? You gotta watch for those. And then in regard to just the whole body, watching the whole body, this fidgeting can happen just about anywhere. You're chatting, like Jay was saying, tapping your fingers also, or shifting in your seat is another indicator. Just frequent movements. Like you were saying, Jay, messing with the energy, shifting the energy, shifting the vibration. So in shoulder shrugs, that indicates uncertainty or a lack of confidence in what's being said, right? Shoulder
mm-hmm.
shrug.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Excessive sweating.
That can be the worst when that's happening. I can, do you notice, like, on the flip side, just a side note, when I'm moving a lot of energy through me, I will sweat. So that's another way that just for me to know that I'm in a high energy situation, even if I didn't necessarily know it. But it's not so fun when you literally are sweating, like you're going, like running on the treadmill, only you're not running on the treadmill.
Okay, so you get that when you're kind of shifting your own energy but not lying about something.
Yes. I mean, it can be both, like hot under the collar, that whole cliche.
Right.
But I also just notice it comes up in that way too for me when I'm really moving a lot of energetic energy, that, the non-physical energy. I definitely get it. It literally heats my whole body up.
Yeah, but it is a way of checking out another. Say your son is, you're afraid your son has stolen your money from your wallet. You can actually grab his hand probably too if he looks like he's sweating and check his palms.
It's true. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Especially with kids.
Yeah. So we have these, but I guess there's also just contradictory gestures. Also, I kind of got on that, but nodding while you're saying no or shaking your head while saying yes, right? Mm. You know, it's like, no, I didn't. And you're shaking your head. Yes, no, I didn't, do that. No, I didn't do that.
This is where the observer is so important, because sometimes we can even notice these things and be like, oh, did I just see that? Like, cause it's just so uncharacteristic, or it just is so like kind of glaring. But at the same time, you're like, oh, did that just happen? But it really did. And these are ways to pick up on some of these inconsistencies.
Absolutely. Do we have anyone in the chat room that's wanting to add to the conversation?
Shell is joining us. She is letting us know she's listening from the car, and she's on her way to a work meeting for some kind of monthly or quarterly evaluation. And so we're definitely wishing Shell all the best. Praying for ease and grace as she goes to her meeting. No questions yet are in the chat.
Yeah, watch the body language and your workmates. You can ask direct questions if you really want to know, right? And then you'll be able to spot them.
Seriously, I mean, this is a great conversation to be having before that, not from the stance of overthinking the meeting, but also being able to arm yourself to know, what you may notice that may come up, or how it's presented to you. You might be able to tell whether something is, something in the lines of more of like a nonsense kind of thing they're trying to pin on you, or if it's like a real legitimate issue, and to just kind of know the difference of where they're coming from when they present that information.
Yeah, I mean, and it really does. It keeps us intact too, to be able to to be able to like dig in and really get to the core of who a person is or what's going on with the situation and reality, the actual reality of the situation. Because, you know, I wonder if it happens a lot in workplaces. I wonder about that, whether, you know, like at a corporate meeting, maybe she's going to a corporate meeting. But you have to wonder whether you see that more, maybe, I don't know, in work situations, who knows? Maybe not, maybe it's everywhere, but I wonder about that.
Well, what it comes through to me is sometimes you can spot it in the work world, but it's hard to be able to do something about it because it's work, you know? So if your boss is presenting something a certain way, depending upon the corporate culture, you might feel like you need to just go with it, even though you know it's complete bullshit, for the sake of your job, or, you know, just the sake of keeping the peace. So hopefully nothing like that's going on at your work shell, and that everyone is, you know, above board and operating in their authenticity. But at the same time, this is something to be aware of for all of us, especially if you're in the corporate world, that not everybody operates in authenticity, and they're also not necessarily looking to have you tell them. But at the same time, part of it is how we show up for ourselves and how we hold space for ourselves and how we find a way to tactfully bring things like that up if we have to in a work environment. But I'm mentioning it because it can be a little bit more of a situation with some more layers attached to it in this environment than if instead we're just talking about like a friend that you're not working with, or, you know, somebody that's outside of that work environment. My point is, in a long way, to say that when we have work relationships, it can add a whole other dimension of complicated to this situation, but you can still be armed with understanding that person more when you pay attention to these things, even in a work environment.
You kind of cut through everything you need to cut through. You watch their delivery also, and how they're delivering their words. See if maybe they have some hesitation in the words, whether they have frequent pauses or fillers, and hesitation in their speech.
Definitely. Because
that's one of the cues that they're trying to really figure out what they're trying to say. So, yeah.
We do have a comment now, or a question, I should say.
Yeah.
Catherine's joining us, and she says, great topic, Jay and Carolyn. I normally can hear, quote, if anyone is telling the truth. However, I find myself being deceived recently by omissions rather than lies. Any guidance around this?
You know, when you say that you didn't catch it, you obviously could feel it. So you were catching it, and you didn't want to look at it, maybe? Could that be it? Because you know that you probably just really felt it. There was a gut feeling there that, okay, I hear what you're saying, but something doesn't feel right. I'd like to hear what you have to say back to that, Jay.
There's that, and then there's the part of, like, you, how much of you wanted to believe what they were saying, and in that belief, you overlooked, like, the part that wasn't adding up that you normally would have caught, but it was in your own blind faith, possibly, that allowed that to go by you in the moment, even though you might have noticed, or, like, something was trying to tell you, like, this isn't adding up, or there's more to this story, like, that part of you that would have been telling you that part. But just in your own faith for that person, you just were like, ah, no, that's not happening. And I can tell you from my own experience, it's easy to explain away those little teeny subtle blips, because we just don't want to have to deal with them. You know, if we have to stop and acknowledge that this person's lying to us, or in this case, they didn't tell us all the information. I know in my own experience, I don't always want to stop and address that. But however, it's not good to let those things go either, because then it just gives that person permission to do it again later, in a certain kind of way.
Go ahead. When you say this, Jay, it's almost like You're not giving your permission to really accept what you're hearing on a vibrational level when you ignore it. Because I do feel like that most of us, I bet 99% of us, when somebody is being told a lie and they really want to hear that that's not true in their mind, it's like, okay, and he's saying it's not true. He is saying it's not true. Right now, he's saying it's not true. And so you accept but had that gut feeling that it's wrong.
Yeah, Catherine, give us let us know if what we're saying resonates and which parts are resonating, if you would like to share. That can give us an indication of how that experience was for you and if there's any other information that we can pull through that could be helpful. This is too where being the observer, this is the practice, because this is where, like in this case, you're learning to see what someone is doing and seeing and how you can pick it up, but you're also learning to see what is like absent, what isn't there that should be there, if that makes sense. And looking at it from that way.
That's right.
And our sensitivities are telling us both. It's just a matter of, are we paying attention?
That's right. That's right. Or do we want to? Do we want to be hearing this? Voice pitch is another indication too. A higher pitch or fluctuating pitch in the voice. You want to watch for higher or fluctuating, because that's another indication that you could be hearing a made up story. Voice pitch.
That's a big one, because yeah. I think we can. And just typical inflection, again, this is one that we can easily explain away. Oh, you know, they didn't raise their voice for a reason. It was just, you know, their voice in that moment. It was just how their throat was. You know, just catch how much you explain away for other people things that don't add up. And that might be something that kind of hits us in the face. I know it hit me in the face. I wanted to believe that people were far more honest and authentic with their feelings and emotions than they generally are. But I had to come to terms with that, and not from a jaded place, like, oh God, nobody tells the truth and everybody's a liar. Not from that place, but from a real understanding that, look, not everybody is going to come and give you their true authentic feelings. And honestly, they don't have to. It's not, you know, they don't have to. However, we can, if we're watching and paying attention, deduce and use our discernment to figure that out, even if they're not being honest with us. You know, that part's up to us, you know, to sort out, not to, you know, have blind trust in the other person, because I feel like that person should earn the trust. It shouldn't just be necessarily given without their... I used to do it the other way around, where I'd give the trust and ask questions later. Now I ask questions and then I will offer that, but at the same time, not so freely and not so easily, especially to strangers.
There you go. Yeah. So speech rate, speaking faster or slower than usual, speech rate is another indicator. I'm a fast talker, but I don't know. So speech rate is something that might be an indicator as well. So keep an eye on it. And, I really don't know. I was watching a movie last night. So that would be another indicator, slower than usual. So, mm-hmm. And then overly detailed. You know, yeah, I went to the grocery store and bought some salad and tomatoes and cheese and that kind of thing. So rather than just saying, yeah, I went to the store. So providing excessive or unnecessary details in their answer for something might be another indication, or is another indication, actually, of an untruth coming at you. But how many times also have you gotten a vague response? And then probably that included a shrug, which is one of the other physical things that we watch in a liar's attitude or what they actually do. So vague responses are another thing. They're evasive or providing unclear answers, you know, that lead feeling, oh my God, that feels unclear. That feels like not answered. I don't feel really, I don't feel like it was answered.
Well, and watch that too. Like if the answer is vague, do you fill in the gaps and the details for them? Or again, are you willing to ask questions? You know, are you willing to go and see what you can find out, like an investigator, if things aren't adding up? Instead of assuming, what can you ask about? And so Catherine added to her comment. She says, yes, can resonate with what you both offered. My situation was a long-distance relationship over 3 years, and they omitted to tell me they were engaged to another. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
That is awful. I'm really sorry about that, Catherine, because...
That's awful.
That's a punch in the gut. Well, in a situation like this, I feel, that person is calculating, and they were doing that in such a way to hide that truth. So even though, yes, in a certain kind of way, the quote's admitting he omitted it, but honestly, he was running some kind of manipulation to lead you to believe that way. And it wasn't just being held back. I feel like there was like some kind of manipulation there. And it's part of what we're talking about, but I feel like it's like another level going the distance of further into manipulation. And so I'm really sorry that you went through that, Catherine, because that's like a punch in the gut.
What a waste of your time. That was such a waste of your time and energy. And I'm so sorry that you experienced it. That's right. So inconsistencies in the story also are variations in the story. So when they retell it, watch for that. Like I went to the movies. Oh, when I also, okay, well, I said I went to the grocery store first, but I went, you know. So you watch how they tell the story with, you know, in their variations of, you know, and you want to watch for it because you'll kind of bring it out that way and feel out what the answer is. And you know, who wants to live like this anyway, you know, to kind of grill a person to get them to answer something, right? I mean, what a sad soul to be putting you through this anyway. And you know, when you look at the idea of lying too, it's so much easier just to avoid it, you know, and just really be real about it, because it's going to feel better for yourself, and you're going to just like bring everything to the surface so that you don't have to go on thinking about how obnoxious it was for you to even try to lie about something. Obnoxious and sickening and discrediting to you. You know, your behavior needs to be checked. So that's not, I mean, because it's not living in your authenticity when you do that. So you really got to check yourself with it. And really want to be truthful, and in doing so, do it, because it's so much easier in the end.
It is, and even in I'm thinking about different situations. For some reason, I just went back in time for a second, and I used to be really uncomfortable at asking questions to people when I felt an inconsistency or something wasn't adding up. And I was the type that would fill in the gap for them. I wouldn't even ask. And just because I didn't want to rock the boat. I'm more of a peacemaker. I like to go that route. So anything that would look opposite to that, I would steer clear from. But what I have learned over the years in doing that was I would get myself into relationships that weren't real relationships. And there isn't really anything to be too afraid of when I'm not overly responsible for other people's feelings and emotions to ask questions, even if it does kind of throw somebody for a loop. And now it's the other part of that is understanding that maybe that's a huge red flag, you know, and that if my question's going to really throw them off, you know, maybe that's more of an indication about them than me. And I used to just internalize all that. So part of it, the reason why I'm mentioning it, is we have to be willing to look at ourselves too, with like how much were we willing to let that person give us some sort of half-truth or mistruth or in Catherine's case, an omitted truth. How much are we willing to go there through going along to get along? And I'm oversimplifying this, but just it's something to pay attention to. It's something to keep like, an eye on.
Why are you bothering? Is what you're saying? Why are you bothering with that? You know, if you can't even come to the table with, you know, authenticity. So yeah, it's a waste of time. It's really a waste of your breath to be in a relationship like that, because it's not authentic. You called it not real relationships, but it's not being authentic. So I mean, you want to really come to the table fully and presently and with, you know, without lying. The other thing you can watch for too are changes in breathing, because especially like the breath may be shallower, or it could be even faster because they're nervous. So watch for breathing also. The other thing is obvious, I think. Aggressive responses. So when you say, I bet you were with her last night. I wasn't with her. I told you I wasn't with her. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because they might become defensive or hostile when questioned. So you want to look for that also. So it's just another form of it. And
I want to say this is on both sides. I feel like the real learning can come when we pay attention to how we're operating in these situations and also how our partner is. And I'm not saying to overly take responsibility for somebody else's lies or omissions, but also understand that how we show up, how we ask our, and talk to our partner is also going to be part of like what we get back to. So like there's also that aspect of tact and all those things, you know, matter and important in both directions. And so
right.
The reason why I mentioned that is because we're paying an awful lot of attention to how other people show up in our life. But it's also helpful because it's information that can help us see how we're showing up in our relationships too. So anyways, I just want to add
that. Oh, I think really is how we're showing up because you know, when you find yourself in the position of having to even ask the questions like that, something's not feeling right inside of you. And you're, I mean, again, you're wanting to hear that he wasn't with her last night, but you damn well know that he was with her last night.
Right.
It's like now you have to you have to really look at why am I here? Why am I doing this? And why am I bothering? So, you know, and then what am I afraid of? What's my fear in leaving this? So, you can even turn it and just say, what is it that I really would prefer having in my life? You know, another thing you can look at too is our speech errors. So they may have increased stammering or stumbling over words as they're trying to speak, as they're trying to throw out their answer to something. So increased stammering or stumbling is another thing to look for.
Hmm. It's true that the things that are out of character with that person, and part of that is, you know, you have to know the person to know what's out of character for them. But again, it's not trying to score keep, but also being willing to be open to what your intuition is showing you about the, like, how the relationship dynamics are working. You know, and are we shoving things down, or are we addressing the things that we're seeing pop up, and vice versa? Are we letting them address things with us?
Yeah.
And when things come up, you know, can we handle that?
I'm not even sure that you have to know the person in order to do this. I mean, imagine being on a first date and asking a question or two, and you see them starting to stammer, or you're hearing it, and you know, like, why did you leave your last girlfriend, you know? So you listen for it, listen to the body language, watch the person, watch, you know, maybe the eyes move away from you. Maybe he puts up his hand in front of his mouth as he answers his, you know. So there's a lot, as we're saying here, there's a lot of different ways to spot them. And to and really it's our responsibility too to really capture it too right away, so that, and I keep coming back to it's a time waster, you know, to be dealing with this kind of thing, and in yourself and in others, and also too, you want to be aware again that lying about something for yourself is dimming your light, and you're not being authentic, you're messing with the universal alignment of God, Goddess, all it is to me. I mean, you're messing with it, and it's not going to make you feel stronger as a soul, and as a human, and as a, you know, a potential friend to anyone or worker.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yep. So, how do we get ourselves into it anyway? Why do we accept it? And I think that the biggest thing that we accept these things for, that we accept a liar friend, that we accept a liar partner, is because we're in fear of what we would do without them. And and that's when we have to really look at, you know, steps to getting yourself out, because it's not worth it. Your time. So it's really important to stay on it and stay in truth.
So we have a couple more people joining us. I want to say hi to Pamela. Says just tuning in, just off a meeting. Good morning, all. We'll try to catch up. Great to see you, Pamela. Happy Monday. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you had a great meeting. Karen says hello, everyone. Hello, Karen. Thank you for being here. And Quelly, she says, Grand Rising, Jay, Carolyn, and 1-2 fam. Welcome. We're excited that you're here. And can you believe we've already almost talked our way through the whole hour?
We have, and it was good. But yeah, so I guess it's just telling us, it's like we all need tune-ups a lot, you know, and whether we're receiving or giving this, the untruths, it's like, stay tuned up, tune it up, and turn off that section of your mind that even wants to be with somebody that would, or that would expect that a lie would be better than saying the truth. So, you know, you want to tune yourself up and make yourself bright, because that's why we're here, right? We're here to really take on this world and all the physical, you know, energies of the world. And that's why we're here. And we want to make ourselves the best we can be. Jay.
It's true. It is true. Yeah. And it's the kind of thing that you're worth it. I'm worth it. And sometimes we don't always feel worth it. and so maybe if that's the case for anybody listening, let that be the work to fortify your worth and your goodness and your light and what you offer the world. And as you do that, if you're having trouble standing up for yourself or speaking your truth or asking questions like we're talking about today, that would be a place to start to fortify, to strengthen, because then it will help as you're working that muscle in life, in other experiences that will come up, that you'll have more depth of your own to draw from, more strength and personal power to draw from by taking a look at that.
I think you won't feel as weary, right? I mean, it wears on your energy to be in touch with a lie, whether it's yours or somebody else's. It wears on your energy. You can feel it it's like a black spot on your energy field. So you really want to be aware of them, and you want to rid of them, the black spots on your energy field, because they're going to pull you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they'll take a toll more on you than you want to believe or realize. And that's the part we want to say, oh, you know, I can handle this. I can totally handle this. Like, I know this is happening. But, you know, this person's going through a lot. And so, you know, we want to make excuses or room for them. And that may be true, but then I come back to something that I've learned here in the 1-2 world. And that is, okay, I might be so concerned about this other person and what they're doing, which is great, but who is taking care of Jay? Who's making sure Jay is all right? And who's making sure that he actually is taken care of in all this? And when I was so focused on the other person, I wasn't paying a bit of attention on myself. So that's where I had to, you know, really turn the mirror around and take a look. And why it's so important. You know, other people are important, yes, but so are you too. And it isn't about making them more of a priority than you. And I understand family life can be different. But at the same time, it is not totally different to not be paying attention to these things either. You know, balance and harmony and authenticity in our communication, that I feel like is the goal for all of our relationships, regardless of whether it's family, friends, or coworkers. Even though we might go a little bit different about how we do that in those different groups. But yeah, what a great conversation. This is awesome, Carolyn. This was Carolyn's idea this morning to talk about.
Yeah. Where can we get you this week, Jay?
You can find me over on the 12listen.com site, which is our sister site to 12 Radio. You can find me for one-on-one readings and support. And that is also where you can find Carolyn. I'm on in the afternoons and evenings. Carolyn, when are you on?
From 6 in the morning Pacific until 4:30 in the afternoon every day. And then you can also schedule a call with either of us too. You know, also too, if you're having a problem with any, you know, either receiving or giving on the line, and you know, this is something that Jay and I could talk to you about on the line. So, you know, we're here to help you with aligning yourself and tuning up.
Absolutely. And I can tell you from my own experience that I did not do this and get to where I am on my own. I have done it through multiple teachers, mentors, therapists, classes, practice. And I know, Carolyn, you've had your own rigorous obstacle course of life and training and mentors and all that as well for yourself. So just know that when you are calling and asking for help, we have a lot of very real world knowledge and practices that are practical in the world to offer.
Yeah. So continue to stay connected with us for some great live lineup today with Mark Husson is up next. And Janet will be with you next week. And thank you for joining us.
Have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye for now.
In the gentle light, we bid you all good night. Ideas, stories, hopes, and dreams took flight with Carolyn and Jay, conversations so bright in this cosmic realm where our stories ignite. Mornings embrace a new day's pearl. Their dialogues continue in this cosmic swirl. Thank you for joining with hearts full and swell in the mythical realm where our stories dwell.